Good afternoon. Can everyone hear me? Okay. So my name is Laura Burke, and I'm going to be presenting a program that we developed at Regis College about an undergraduate interprofessional collaborative curriculum. I have nothing to disclose. So Regis College is a small liberal arts college located about 20 minutes outside of Boston, Massachusetts. It was founded by the Sisters of St. Joseph, and it has both undergraduate and graduate programs. We have about 2,000 students in the college, with 30% of them being minority or international students, and more than 50% of our student population are first-generation college students. The school is divided in half with two schools, the one is Arts and Sciences, and the other one being Nursing and Health Sciences. Just to give you a sense of the school, about 70% of the students in the college are in the School of Nursing and Health Sciences. We are by far the larger of the two. However, as I talk through this, our core is steeped in a liberal arts tradition and the tradition of the Sisters of St. Joseph. So to give you a sense, we have graduate programs and undergraduate programs in the School of Nursing and Health Sciences. I am focusing today on our undergraduate programs, mainly because our graduate programs already work together very closely. They share faculty, they share curriculum, they share outcomes. Our undergraduate programs have been very siloed in their approach to education. And the programs we've looked at were the exercise science, medical imaging has two majors, nuclear medicine and diagnostic medical sonography. I'm trying to be better about that and not call it ultrasound anymore. We have a nursing program, nutrition, psychology, public health, social work, sports management. All of the program directors were approached about participating in the interprofessional education curriculum. One group is opting out, sports management. It really didn't seem to fit all that well for the whole program. They are opting to certain courses, but not the entire curriculum. So interprofessional education, we're using the standard definition. Students from two or more professions learn about, from, and with each other to enable effective collaboration and improve health outcomes. So that was our goal. A few years back, the Associate Dean of Nursing and I started doing some research on this. And we started with this definition and we moved forward from there. The nice thing about our curriculum is that we have had administrative support from the start. It starts off well with the two associate deans coming together and starting the program. But we also had support from the president of the college, our dean, and surprisingly, the board of trustees actually contacted us about starting an interprofessional education curriculum. A few members of our board are very involved in it, and we were happy to report that we had already begun one. So we did not have a problem with getting administrative support for this new program. We also looked at our curriculums, and we realized that multiple departments are offering the exact same course. Every department in the college had a research methods course. And contrary to popular belief, research methods are not different across the different departments. We were all teaching the exact same thing. Although one professor informed me that their research methods class was different than ours, and being an epidemiologist, I really hoped it wasn't. So we talked about that and figured it was exactly the same. So the departments, some of them have been collaborating, but our goal was intentional collaboration. We were sort of forcing everyone into working together, to identifying common goals, et cetera. And one of our key things that we had was faculty buy-in, although I will address faculty buy-in again when I get to my limitations slide. We also wanted this to culminate in an capstone experience where students would go out into the community. The Sisters of St. Joseph's have a mission of service to the dear neighbor, and our goal was for them to actually provide service. Now remember, these are undergraduate students, so they are not licensed when we are sending them out, so we'll talk about that as well. But we identified a community partner. Lawrence, Massachusetts is located about 20 to 30 minutes north of us. It is described as a multicultural and multi-ethnic working city. It has consistently been listed as one of the poorest cities in the state of Massachusetts. However, they have a very active mayor and who has contacted us, and we also have a satellite campus in Lawrence, Massachusetts. So this was our designated place, and we spoke to a number of partners, starting with the mayor's office, about what did the community need. And we allowed our partner to determine where to put the students, because once again, we are sending them unlicensed students. And so they determine what their needs are, and we'll talk about our project. So when we started looking at this, we decided to use the domains from the IPEC, the Interprofessional Collaborative Competency Domains. If anyone hasn't seen this, it's all available online if you just go to IPEC.org. And so we chose the four domains: values and ethics, roles and responsibilities, interprofessional communication, and teams and teamwork. And that's what we designed our curriculum around. This is a great quote that I saw at a IPEC conference on developing a curriculum from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who said, "Take the first step in faith. You don't have to see the whole staircase. Just take the first step." And that's exactly what we did. We didn't see a whole staircase, but we decided to lean into this program. We started with one course and started a process. One of our biggest issues was, how do we incorporate public health majors with the medical imaging students? One being very clinically based, the other one very population based. And this went back and forth between the two departments for quite a while, and I think we've come up with a solution to it, but we had to think about how we were going to address this. We felt like we wanted a population-based interprofessional curriculum. We really wanted them to go out and do population work. So we worked with medical imaging, and I think we have solved the problem. So one of the first things we did was came up with our program outcomes. So these are our interprofessional program outcomes for Regis. We wanted to prepare health professionals to collaborate effectively in order to provide patient, family, population-centered health care. We want to cultivate professionals capable of effective communication through a variety of modalities with diverse populations and other professions. And we want to prepare healthcare professionals who embrace high standards of ethical conduct. So our curriculum starts in their freshman year and continues through their senior year. It focuses on collaborative practice competencies, and it culminates in an opportunity to apply practice with students from other professions. So how does the curriculum start? It actually started with two associate deans locked in a boardroom with a computer, a lot of literature, writing up the first course. We then presented it to faculty. We realized we cannot continue that method of presenting courses to faculty, and we now work through working groups. So each course in the curriculum has a working group associated with it, experts from the college in that area and from all the disciplines that want to be involved in the curriculum development. So this has been a much more efficient and a happy process along the way. They get guidance from the IPE working group that is overlooking all the courses to make sure they are working together and they are appropriate for the goals of the program. So this is what our curriculum looks like. You start off with the interdependence of healthcare professions in the United States, go into health ethics, research methods, a group process course which is in the process of being developed, case studies in healthcare, and finally the capstone experience in the community. We had to look at a lot of accreditation standards to make sure we were meeting everyone's accreditation standards. So there is a little flexibility as to when you can take it. So some of the courses, especially the nursing program, had to move their courses to junior year versus sophomore year. Social work had to do it sophomore year instead of junior year. But overall, this curriculum has worked for every major in this program. So the first course is the interdependence. This is an introductory course. We basically took all the competency domains and wanted to introduce them to students at their first year. Many students come in and they ask, they want to do healthcare, they have no idea what area they want to do. What they want to do, everyone knows what nursing is. Some people know what ultrasound is, but otherwise, healthcare is a complete confusion to them. They don't know any other professions, maybe medicine, dentistry. So we want to give them an introduction to all the fields that are available to them. Any student who comes in and expresses healthcare is put into this course as part of their first year seminar. So this is one of the linked courses. It fulfills a core requirement. So even if they take the course and later decide they want to be an English major, no harm. They still have fulfilled a core requirement. The second course is health ethics. This is already part of our core, the ethics course. We are just replacing the social ethics with a health ethics course. And this will be taken by all students in the programs. We had to work very closely with the ethics department on this, mainly because we are now pulling 70% of the students out of their course and putting them into a health ethics course. So we strongly suggest that you meet with your faculty before you do something this drastic. but it focuses on the interests of the patient and the population. It covers both ethics of team-based care and population-based research. Research methods, this was the hardest course to convince everyone to take. But we designed it around team research projects, providing a group of students with a common topic. Okay, they work on it together, they represent their different fields, but as we explained to the students, no one does research on their own. When you work on a research project, it's always with a team of people. So they need to get used to getting to work together. And this is also a big for us with teamwork, since our students actually hate working in teams. We're trying to overcome this. But this is one of the examples of how we were able to overcome the differences between public health and medical imaging. We're presenting it as something like similar to screening, where the medical imaging students can look at the screening modality, and the public health students can look at the population that they're going to use it on. Bullying, we were able to do public health, psychology, and social work, all coming together on a common topic. The topics came up change on a yearly basis, and it really is determined by what the student interests are. One thing that did change is psychology has a 2-semester research methods course. In public health, we don't really want all these undergrads going out and doing the research on the population. They really don't have time to. Psychology has always implemented their research, and so they are looking at adjusting it and being able to do a second semester. So we're trying to work with the departments. The group process, this is a course that was requested by the faculty. This wasn't originally part of our curriculum and was added based on faculty requests and also input from students that they wanted to cover this as well. This is a 1-credit course. We have advanced courses in group process and psychology and in social work, but we wanted all the students to have access to it. It focused on communication skills, roles of individuals within a group, group dynamics, and conflict resolution. For many students, this will be their introduction to the group process. However, for the social work students, this will be their advanced course because they're going to be implementing. They're going to be the facilitators of this course. They will have taken their group process course already. So this is going to be later for them, and they will be acting in that manner. Case studies in healthcare. This was developed because we can't send all of our students out into the community at this point. We don't have the infrastructure in place for everyone to do a community project. So we came up with an alternative for a portion of the population in the school, where they work on case studies in healthcare. And I think a lot of people are very familiar with this type of process. The team works together to solve a population or patient care issue. They have to work together, they have different steps along the way. They solve the first part, they get the next part of the process. And they're going to work through this. It's a half semester course, and so far we've tried it out in 1 or 2 classes, and they have liked it a lot. And they have actually understood what the other groups are doing, which is part of our goal. The final course is our capstone. So this year it's going to be a diabetes capstone project. We have students from nursing, public health, social work, nutrition, and exercise science all working together on a common project. This will be a combination of community experience and classroom reflections. Our community partner, Lawrence, Massachusetts, working with the Greater Lawrence Family Health Center, has required that at least one member of the team has to be fluent in Spanish, because 74% of the population of Lawrence is Hispanic, and the majority of patients at the health center do not speak any English. So this has not been a problem, since there's a good percentage of public health students who are bilingual. So on this team, it will be the public health students who are providing the Spanish translation. It was a very interesting conversation with our partner, mainly because I was told it had to be New World Spanish and not the Spanish that you learned in high school. So we were able to handle that. As we developed our curriculum, we developed an assessment model to go with it. We always tell everyone to develop the assessment model at the same time. Most of our faculty never do. We luckily did it together. We defined our programs, we leveled, we have introductory, intermediate and final courses, advanced levels, and the beautiful thing is assessment rubrics. There are a lot of them already available on the internet. The University of Toronto in particular has a great listing of materials for interprofessional education and how to assess it. We used those to start off with and just adapted them to our needs. So we didn't reinvent the wheel on this one at all. So what have we learned so far? One of the main things we learned is that an administrative structure is essential just for interprofessional education. We need the director of the program in place. We need administrative support, and we need someone to help find the community partners to work with. Everyone is interested in interventional courses until you replace their course. One of the biggest arguments we had in this process was, I'm already covering those outcomes in my major. And the response was always, but we're doing interprofessional education. I'm happy you're covering it in your major, but you need to cover it with the other majors together and understand it. We're getting there. Curriculum course supervision is essential. So we had someone overseeing each one of the courses. What we found out this year was our introductory courses, one of the sections was being taught at a clinical nursing course instead of an interprofessional course. Not the best thing in the world, we found out when the students in the other majors came and mentioned it. Oh, by the way, did you know we're doing clinical experiences in our class? No, we didn't. So having constant supervision, we had done faculty development, we had done everything we could think of to get the faculty ready for this. We were obviously wrong. We were off. What we're doing now is we're going to do team teaching. Two professions teaching the same course together in the same room. We also need more faculty development, it's obvious, and we can continue to do that. Finally, everything takes longer than originally planned. We had hoped to have everything in place and going a while ago. That didn't happen, so we just needed to go with the flow. Where are we going next? We are putting in a Center for Interprofessional Education at Regis. We're also expanding global interprofessional experiences. This spring, we are taking a group of students to Cuba to do public health and other health experiences. The team of students who are going are from public health, nursing, social work, nutrition. So we have a good cross group. We want to add additional capstone experiences and community partners, and we want an official graduate IPE collaborative to be in place. These are just some great resources that if anyone is interested, you should really look at if you're interested in an IPE program at your school. The IPEC collaborative, available online, WHO. Creating the Healthcare Team of the Future, the Toronto Model for Interprofessional Education and Practice. It's available on Amazon. I bought it, I read it in a weekend. It has some really great examples of what to do when you're developing it. IPC on the Run is available as well. And then the Association for Prevention, Teaching, and Research has some really interesting case studies that can be used. They also have a considerable amount of information on interprofessional education. Finally, I want to say thank you to the working group. Penny England is the dean of the School of Nursing and Health Sciences. Diane Welsh, who's been my partner in crime on this process. She's the associate dean of nursing. Kathy Fuller and David Gilmore, and especially to the nursing and health sciences faculty who have embraced this process. And most importantly, I wanted to thank Edmund Travers, who is our community partner at the Greater Lawrence Family Health Center. Thank you.